Looking at two passages of scriptures particularly this evening that we want to look at as we go along. We will look at some others. But the verse of 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." And then Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And then this one, which fits within the Christmas text, of course, of Luke 2:7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." And of course, that's the title of tonight's message, is Wrapped. And, you know, this is the time of the year when we think back to the three wise men who went to see the baby Jesus. And according to the book of Matthew, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And these are simple words, but if you analyze them carefully, we discover how important they are. Yet there's an often overlooked theological fact here in relation to this. In this account, there is no mention of gift wrapping. No wrapping paper whatsoever. You know, if there had been wrapping paper, the account of Matthew would have said this: "And lo, the gifts were encompassed about with 7 square cubits of paper, and the paper was covered within and without with pictures of Frosty, a man of snow. And Joseph purposed in his heart to cast the paper into the barrel of refuse. But Mary saith unto him, Cease, man, drop the decorative parchment. It should be set aside for future generations. And Joseph did roll his eyeballs. And it came to pass that the babe was more interested in the paper than the frankincense." So we know it wasn't there. I mean, they would have had the way I told us that. But, they, you know, they don't appear in the Bible. But what they mean about which means that the very first Christmas gifts were probably not wrapped. In fact, that is because the people giving those gifts had two important qualities. One was that they were wise. And the second is that they were men. Men are not big gift wrappers. Men do not understand the point of putting paper on a gift just so somebody else can tear it off. And this is not just my opinion. This is a scientific fact that is based on a statistical survey of two people, two guys I know. One was my dad, who said the only time he ever wrapped a gift was to, quote, "if it's such a poor gift that I don't want to be there when the person opens it." And the other was a college roommate who told me he does wrap gifts, but as a matter of principle, he never spent any more than 15 seconds per gift. So then there's me. You know, that no one has ever asked which gifts I wrapped. They are the ones that look like enormous spitballs, or they kind of come out looking like this, you know? And for some reason, I can't quite completely wrap it, no matter how much paper you give me. There's always something that is hiding through. And so I try to have a piece of paper the size of a volleyball court, and what I'm trying to wrap is about the size of a deck of cards. I'm still going to have something showing. And so to take care of that, I usually try to collar it over a little bit or maybe put some tape over it or something so it doesn't show as much. But I can tell you that I should be ashamed of myself. Since I have a brother and a sister here this evening, they know a little bit about this. First thing is the punishment that I endured for 5 years. My mother was completely infatuated with Lawrence Welk. It wasn't enough to sit through the pain of watching a Lawrence Welk show every Saturday evening, which we had to do, but my mother wanted me to be Lawrence Welk, and so I endured 5 years of accordion lessons. And I mean, I endured them. They was painful. And to this day, I should have brought my accordion out. I still have it's here on the premises because I don't want to keep it in my house. I have nightmares if it's in my house. I can play an almost church hymn called the Beer Barrel Polka. We could all sing along to. But along with that, as much as she liked that, the other thing that she absolutely spent time on was wrapping the gifts at Christmas. I mean, she would take the wrapping paper And I know she tried to teach us all. Well, at least she tried to teach me how to do it. I assume that she put the rest of them through the same pain. How to wrap a gift, you know, and how to cut it the paper just right, and how to fold it and crease it over, you know, and just take a little bit of piece of tape and put on there and hold it together. And we here, we never used very much tape. We always used just a little bit of tape. And if it had a pattern, it had to match up all the way around. Too much trouble, as far as I was concerned. But, you know, she loved to do it. The packages always looked great. But on the other hand, you know, if she could take a 12-inch square of wrapping paper and she could wrap a C-130 cargo plane in it, she actually liked to wrap it. And if she gave you a gift that required batteries, you know what was going to happen? You're going to get the batteries separate, wrapped separately. Yep. Which, to me, was bordering on mental illness. My point is that gift wrapping is one of those skills, like having babies, that come naturally to women and not to men. Now, here's some gift wrapping tips for men. Whenever possible, buy gifts that are wrapped. Huh? The editors of Woman Days magazine recently ran an item on how to make your own wrapping paper. And they said, you know, they had this apple, that you cut this apple in shapes, and you got this, you know, ink kind of, and you dipped it in there and put it on there and made your own personal wrapping paper to put it in there. And all I could think is these people are smoking crack there. If you're giving a hard to wrap gift, just, you know, there's one of mine. I think just skip the wrapping paper. Just put it inside one of these things and take and put a bow on it and stick it under the tree and it works. You know, that's all you need. Why all that other trouble about and you know, you put the bow on there, that's real festive, isn't it? Makes it real nice. Here's a conversation that could have happened at our house. She says, why is there a hefty trash bag under the tree? And I said, it's a gift. See, it has a bow. And she says, as she looks inside the trash bag, it's a leaf blower. I said, yes, but it's gas-powered and it has 5 horsepower, you know? And she says, thanks a lot. And I say, actually, I'm God's gift to you. And she says, I don't think God gives gag gifts. So, I want you to remember, though, the important thing is not what you give or even how you wrap it. The important thing is, during this very special time of year, is that you save the receipt. Well, man doesn't know much about wrapping gifts, but we have learned a lot about giving from God, and God is in the giving business, you know. God gave Adam and Eve a piece of skin from an innocent animal to replace the fig trees and cover up the shame of their nakedness. God gave Noah a plan for an ark that would eventually, of course, help save his family when the judgment came. God gave Abraham a promise concerning his seed, that it would be as the sands of the sea, the dust of the ground, the stars of the sky. God gave Sarah a precious miracle child in her old age, and she named him Isaac. God gave Isaac that promised ram to take his place on a sacrifice altar on Mount Moriah as Abraham held up that dagger. God gave Jacob 12 sons who were destined, of course, to become heads of 12 different tribes of Israel. God gave Joseph a position as prime minister in Egypt so that he might rescue his own family from the famine in Israel. God gave Moses the ability to work miracles before Pharaoh. God gave the Israelites possessions of the land flowing with milk and honey. He gave the kings to preside over his chosen people. He gave the prophets to plead with his people and tell them about some amazing things that were going to come. He gave the scriptures that gave us the prophecies of the Messiah who would come and deliver and save. He gave the shepherds a pronouncement by the angels that Jesus was born. God gave the wise men a star to lead them to the young child and to the house where he was. God gave Joseph the patience to understand the strange circumstances of a virgin with a child. God gave the world, of course, the Prince of Peace. God gave Jesus the place of sinners on the cross to bear the sorrow and the shame, and Jesus gave His life for sinners. God offers to give all men the pardon of their sins that they might know the joy of everlasting life. And surely God is a great giver. You know, mankind can learn a lot about giving from Him. John tells us what? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. James 1:17. It was, again, I mentioned it was a favorite verse of my high school Sunday school teacher. He quoted it often. He said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning." Jesus told the woman at the well, He said, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." Romans 8:32 says, "He spared not His own Son. Shall He not with Him also freely give all things?" Later He stated in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14, He told Timothy, He said, "Neglect not the gift that is in you." And then later He says, "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee," in 2 Timothy 1:6. To the Ephesians He said, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then the passage that we read here in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." It's very obvious that Jesus is God's greatest gift to us. You know, so let's unwrap this gift to find out what God has for us. First, God wrapped up this gift in an Old Testament mystery. Jesus can be found in every book of the Bible. In the Old Testament, He is found everywhere when you begin to consider and unwrap the types, the shadows, the pictures, and the symbols. You can find Him in the sacrificing of the animals, the metals of the tabernacle, the collars of the garments, the thousands of other places. But you need to unwrap Him by meditation and study. But it's all there. He is the seed that is spoken of in Genesis 3:15. His heel will bruise the head of the serpent. He is the Shiloh that is mentioned in Genesis 49:10, who would come and gather His people to Him. He is the scepter spoken of in Numbers 24:17. That would rise out of Jacob and smite the corners of Moab. He is the prophet of Deuteronomy 18:15 to be raised up out of the midst of his brethren to be hearkened unto. He is the one conceived by a virgin according to Isaiah 7:14, and He is the Emmanuel of Isaiah 9:6. He is the Messiah that will come and be cut off according to Daniel 9:26. He is the root in Israel that is born out of Bethlehem, of Judea, according to Micah 5:2. He can be found everywhere if only we unwrap that gift. Now the second thing is Mary wrapped up God's gift in the manger. It says that she wrapped Him in swaddling clothes, and these are our precious words here. You know, they can be felt best by a mother who has wrapped up her child would know what Mary felt. But there's more wrapped up in these swaddling clothes than just a little baby. Wrapped up in this little baby is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Every truth, every teaching, every type that is concealed in the Old Testament is being held in the arms of Mary. And to understand the story of Moses smiting the rock, or the brass serpent on the pole, or the man in the wilderness, or Jonah in the whale, or to get a sense from the Psalms of David, the Proverbs of Solomon, or you'll have to watch closely what happens to this little boy after he grows up. You know, wrapped up in this little baby is the future of all who would believe. The destiny of all men rests in their attitude and their relationship to this baby. And He has come to be their Savior but he's also come to be their judge. He's only a little baby in Mary's arms, but he'll soon confound the doctors in the temple. He'll be introduced and baptized by John. He'll work miracles and call disciples. He will die on a cross. He'll be buried in a borrowed tomb. He'll be resurrected the third day. He will ascend to the Father, and he'll become our intercessor, our advocate, our mediator, our great high priest. Now the next thing is that the world wraps up God's gift in ignorance. Man will never know what is wrapped up in the gift if the world has its way. First, the world has blinded the minds of men to the true value of the gift. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this to us. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. To the natural eye, God's gift looks just like any other gift. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not, it is foolishness unto him. The spiritual eye can see through the world's wrapping and see that Christ is more than a great teacher and a great reformer. He is the Son of God. Second, the world has bound men in tradition and religious customs. Thousands who have realized that the modernistic social gospel that has been preached to them is inadequate, and they can see that it will not lead them to the kingdom, but they will not change for fear to step out and be different. And so they have accepted a religion that has been handed down to them by their ancestors, and they proceed through meaningless formalities, and they never really unwrap the gift. Third, the world has built up barriers to Christ by sin and confusion. You know, the more sin and rebellion in the life, the harder it is to repent. Evil habits and social sins tighten the grip, but obstacles between man and Christ get bigger every day. The world is wrapping up God's gift to keep poor sinners from knowing God's love. It does that in a lot of different ways, but uses every device that it can to keep us from knowing God's gift of Jesus Christ. Now the fourth thing is the Holy Spirit unwraps God's gift for all who believe. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to teach and to reveal the truth to all. And the Spirit of God came, and it came to unwrap the gift to help us understand. You know, God's gift was unwrapped for the shepherds to see. It was unwrapped for the wise men to meet and present their gifts to. It was unwrapped for Anna and Simeon to behold. It was unwrapped for John the Baptist and saw the descending of the dove in order that he might introduce him publicly. He was unwrapped to the disciples by the miracles that he worked so they might believe. He was unwrapped to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. And after talking to a stranger, of course, he suddenly said, Rabboni. You know, he was unwrapped to Thomas so that he might recognize the prints in his hands and his feet. The same Spirit will unwrap him to any sincere heart and show plainly that he is God's gift to you and me. We need to praise God for his unspeakable gift. And thank God after we have received the gift of God's Son. The gifts just keep on going, coming. You know, He came to give us life more abundant, it says. He came to give us eternal life. And we should unwrap all of God's gifts. And so when you share your testimony, you're unwrapping the gift for someone else. When you volunteer to serve, when you invite someone to church, when you pray with a friend, when you make a spiritual decision or commitment, when you don't say something sometimes, as even the leading of God's Spirit in your life, Now, what we are is our God's gift to us, and what we become is our gift back to God. Peggy wrote this poem. She really didn't know about the sermon necessarily, but I did tell her, I guess one day I told her about the title. And she'd written this poem, and it was amazing how close it was to what I was going to share. But it says, Jesus, our greatest gift. It says, thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. It is the greatest gift I could ever receive. All I have to do to receive it is open up my heart, accept, and believe. There's nothing fancy about his wrapping, born in a lowly stable that night. He was wrapped by his mother in swaddling clothes, and his bed was a manger of hay. What a wondrous sight. Mary and Joseph did not send out any birth announcement, yet Jesus' birth to others was proclaimed. The angel of the Lord in heaven told the shepherds about Jesus' birth. Then many heavenly hosts praised God in his name. There were no balloons to mark Jesus' birthplace, yet the shepherds knew just where to go. The angel told them the babe would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, a prophecy in the Bible that had been foretold. The shepherds traveled to Bethlehem and found this babe in a manger as the angel had told them that night. They left praising and glorifying God for what they had heard and seen. Telling others of this gave them delight. The Magi from the east traveled to Jerusalem after his star in the east had appeared. They questioned King Herod about the king of the Jews, who they were seeking and wanted to revere. King Herod told the Magi to search for the child and come back and report along the way. Then the Magi left and continued to follow the star until they found the house where Jesus stayed. By the time they found little Jesus, he was not a babe but a toddler small. They presented him with his treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus was worshipped by them all. You don't have to go to a Black Friday special to purchase this gift at a special rate. You just need to get ready to receive this free gift. Acquire it now before it's too late. Jesus is a present for everyone. He is a gift for one and all. You don't have to worry that his present won't fit or if you grow, it will get too small. Jesus is a present to be shared with others. He is not to be put on a shelf or to be disguised. This present will bring joy to others as they receive it, and in Jesus they abide. Jesus is a gift that can be displayed for all seasons and not just used just once a year. So make sure you share this gift with others because Jesus' second coming is very near. When you make up your list for Christmas, make sure that your Jesus gift is the top of your list. It's the most important present that should be requested. A present that will last a lifetime, so don't reject it or resist. Many others see the gift in us. They watch it unfold before their eyes, and they share that gift with others. We need to share the gift with others. During the Second World War, the Allied army was advancing through France. The Germans were making a last stand wherever they could. During the night of a very heavy fog, these opposing armies moved very close, and there was this one long green meadow with one little farmhouse that separated them. And at dawn, when the fog lifted, the bullets and the bombs began to explode and the men began to die. And at some time after the battle had been raging for a while, the house in the green meadow was hit and it began to burn. And then someone whispered, "Look!" And it was unbelievable. There was this little child just walking across the field. And as the soldiers saw the child, all the shooting stopped. And soon it became very still. And every eye was on that baby as it walked across that field. And suddenly a soldier just raised up from one of the trenches and he ran out and he scooped up the baby and he ran back to his light. And in a moment there was this great cheer that went up on both sides. And then the bullets began to fly again. the baby brought peace for a moment. Friends, if we allow Jesus into our lives, He'll bring peace forever. Peace in your life now. Peace on this earth. Eternal. That's a great gift.